He wasn't focused on what if I fail. He was focused on what if I succeed. Let me tell you, any time that you're going to step out of your comfort zone and do anything for God, you are going to have to risk failure.
This is Straight Talk.
Hi, my name is Mark Cho. Great to be with you today once again on our program called Straight Talk. We are heading into a season that we know as the Easter season. Some people call it the Lent season. Others refer to it as Resurrection Sunday. No matter what you call it, we're celebrating a huge event in history. It's the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And I'm challenging all those of you that hear me to take advantage of this time to reach out to neighbors and friends and family members that do not normally go to church or may not be walking with God or may be unchurched people so that they can be exposed to the message of Jesus. Last Easter at our church, New Life Community Church, we had thousands of people that visited that normally do not go to church because many people feel like they need to do something religious on Easter Sunday. So I want to encourage you to invite someone to your church. Make sure that you don't miss this opportunity. If you do not have a church and you're looking for a church, and I would invite you, we have a drama at our Midway campus at 51st and Keeler. If you don't have anywhere that you're attending yet, if you're looking for a place to invite a friend that doesn't go to church, we would be happy to reach out to them during this Easter time. God bless you. Let's pray for Chicagoland that many, many people will come to know the resurrected Jesus on Easter Sunday. God bless you. Let's get ready for today's program.
Thank you, Pastor Mark. We are in the second half of Pastor Mark's message called Utilizing a Bold Faith, which is from our series called Life Lessons, The Parables of Jesus. Our material will be found in Matthew chapter 18. Here's Pastor Mark.
You are a being that has the presence of God inside of you. You have the mind of God and the power of God and the glory of God inside of you. You have value and talent and creativity, power and dignity and worth inside of you. All of that that God is trying to stir up is little by little dying inside of you because you are not using it. Some of you have a mind that's great, but you waste it away on telenovelas. Who's sleeping with who? What's going to happen? Did you hear? I just can't figure this thing out. You got a mind. Don't waste it. You have abilities and talents. I run into young people that are smart, technically able. We spend all day on computer games. All day? This congregation is full of talents and abilities, but some of them are being lost and going down and being deadened. And some of you will get to the point where you will forget you even had those abilities. You will forget you even had those talents that God gave you. You will begin to lose the dream that you can make a difference and do something because you have let them lie dormant so long. You've accepted apathy instead of action. You've accepted mediocre instead of excellent. You've accepted not doing anything, not using your gift, not being used of God so long that now you can barely remember what it feels like to be used of God. And now you doubt you even have the gift to begin with. And I want to tell you, it's there. It needs to be stirred up. This guy took action immediately. The second thing that he did is he took risks. The Bible says that he went out with those $5,000, and one translation says that he began to trade with it and he earned another $5,000. Now, back in those days, they didn't have the stock market or the NASDAQ as we do today, but they still had trading. It wasn't, you know, stocks for Walmart, but it was, hey, we have two chickens. Who else has chickens? Who else has olives? And they would trade back and forth. And that's how they, it was a free market. That's what they would do. We're a little more sophisticated nowadays with the same concept. But let me tell you, this guy went out with $5,000 thinking, I'm going to make $5,000 with the money that's been entrusted to me because it's my master's. Because I can, and I want to be faithful. I want to do the best with what God has given me. And so he took those $5,000. And I don't know exactly what he did, but he probably went out and let's say he bought a batch of olives. And a big batch of olives. And he thought, I'll buy these olives for this amount of money. I'll sell them for a higher amount of money. Then when I make that profit, I'll buy skins and I'll sell them and I'll trade and I'll make money. And I can guarantee you, like any business transaction, that maybe he started with five and at one point he had three. And then maybe a turnaround happened. He went up to seven or six. And then he went up to eight. And then he lost two and was back down to six. And then finally, by the time the master had come back, he made a profit double 100% of what had been given to him. But the point is this. He was willing to take risks. Let me tell you, if you're going to use your ability and talent, you're going to have to be willing to be faith-driven, not fear-driven. You see, the guy that went and buried his talent, let me tell you what drove him. Fear. Fear of failure. The guy that went out and started to trade, it was faith driving him. He wasn't focused on what if I fail. He was focused on what if I succeed. How can I do something for my master? How can I get ahead? Let me tell you, anytime that you're going to step out of your comfort zone and do anything for God, you are going to have to risk failure. That's just part of it. You know, Pastor, I want to lead a Bible study, but what if they ask me a question about eschatology or pneumonology, the study of the Holy Spirit, or soteriology, the study of salvation? And what if they ask me if I pre-trib or post-trib or amillennium or millennium, or what if they ask me questions that I don't know? Hey, everybody's going to face risks. And you enter not saying I'm perfect and I've arrived. You say I'm willing to take a chance because God is in me. I don't care what your gifting is. I don't care what if it's helping out in Sunday school, or if it's singing a solo, or if it's mentoring someone, or if it's helping out with computers, or if it's starting a ministry, or whatever it may be in life. And this applies to the spiritual realm and the physical realm as well. Some of you should be leading your own businesses by now. I'm serious. I believe the people of God should be people that take risks, people of faith, people that do things according to God's way, not our own way. You should be the one hiring people, not just be the one that's being hired. Hello? Pastor, I thought about it. I've been thinking about it for 20 years. And it requires an ability to face our fear of failure. I'm going to tell you, if your life right now is being driven by fear, you are not, let me repeat, underline, you are not in the will of God, because no life driven by fear will be in the center of God's will. God's driving force is faith, not fear. God has not given you a spirit of timidity, but of power, love, and of a sound mind. And this guy went out and took risks with what he had. Thirdly, this guy, as I said, not only took risks, but he was driven by faith. It tells us in 1 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 2, now it's required of those who have been given a trust that they must prove faithful. That means maximize, do what we can with what God has given us. It's the principle of responsibility. Let me give you the third principle. The third principle we find out of this passage is that not only will we be given an ability, not only do we have an awesome responsibility, but we will also be subject to great accountability. Notice what he says. In verse 19, after a long time, the master of those servants returned and settled accounts with them. Can I tell you something? Your life and my life will be scrutinized, and we will all give account. You know, the Word of God says that we're going to give account for every word that comes out of our mouth. Let me tell you what scares me. The Bible says that teachers of the Word will give a greater account for what they say. Makes me want to make sure I'm teaching the Word clearly. Study it. Rightly dividing it. You know, we're going to give account one day for how we've led our family, for what we've done with our bodies, for how we've managed our finances, for what you've done with your abilities and your dreams, for how you've used the gifts that God has given you. One day, we will all give account for what God has given to us. You say, well, I have time still, Pastor. I'm only 25. Oh, you don't know if you have time or not. You are not the master of your timeline. Only God knows your timeline. But let me say this. Although I know one day we will all give account, I believe that we start giving account now while we are still on earth. Because I believe that there are spiritual principles that apply to our life and are manifest in our life even now. I believe that some of you are in a greater, you have increased and prospered in certain areas of your life and your ability because you have lived out one or two cycles, and those cycles of sowing and reaping and faithfulness are starting to become evident in your life now. I don't believe you can forever sow bad seeds and reap a good harvest. I don't believe you can forever sow good seeds and forever reap a bad harvest. I believe there's cycles of life, and here on this life, you will begin to reap what you sow. You will begin to gain and lose according to whether you have put in practice these principles. Are you tracking with me? Now, we will give account one day, and he comes back. The master comes back, and we don't know when. He just shows up one day. He doesn't announce that he's arriving. He just shows up one day, and they have to give account. And here's what I want you to notice. I want you to notice that he sits down with a guy with five, and he says, what have you done with what I gave you? And he said, well, I went out and did this, and I gained five more. And he says, well done, good and faithful servant. I'm going to put you in charge of more. Enter into my happiness. You see, he's already gaining what God has given to him. And the guy that had $2,000 did the same, and God rewarded him just the same. And then we show up and we run into the guy that had only one talent or $1,000. And let's see what an ineffective servant does and how he has to give account for his ineffectiveness.
You are listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, lead pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. Please stay tuned, and after the broadcast, I'll tell you how you can get a copy of this message for free, as well as give you information about Pastor Mark and his ministry at New Life Community Church. Right now, let's get back into the message. Our text is found in Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. Our message is called Utilizing a Bold Faith.
It tells us in verse 24, now the man who had received one talent came, and he master, he said, I knew that you are a hard man, harvesting where you have not sown, gathering where you have not scattered seed. So I was what? Afraid, and I went out and hid your talent in the ground. See, here is what belongs to you. Here, wipe the dirt off there, master, here, but here it is. Now let me tell you what makes for a bad, ineffective servant. Number one. He had a misperception about his master. He had a misperception about God. Do you know that a lot of people have a wrong idea of who God is? He said, well, you're harsh. You sow where you don't reap. You're a tough man. Let me tell you, is that who God is? This parable is talking about God. No, his master wasn't that way. He just thought his master was that way. Some of you here have the idea that God is some angry, distant, authoritarian figure that's more concerned about your mistakes than your good, that is unattached emotionally to you, that could care less about you, but really keeps track of your sins, and is just waiting to catch you do wrong so he can say, aha, I have a reason to punish you now. That is not God. And if you operate under that mentality, then you will never do anything for God because you'll always be afraid of failing God. God is in your corner saying, go, I'm with you. My spirit's inside of you. I love you. I've given you all that you need. All things are possible through me. Go, maximize what you have. Do with what you have. I am on your side. If I be for you, who can be against you? God is not waiting for you to fail. God is cheering you on to succeed. And even in your failures, he has made a mistake for us to overcome it. That is who God is. A lot of us are paranoid and fearful because we don't understand really who God is, and we need to clarify who God is. Secondly, what I see here is, as we've said before, an inefficient servant is fear-driven with his gifts. He's always saying, what if I fail? What if I fail? What if I fail? What if I fail? So he never does anything. Thirdly, we see that the master says to him, the master says in verse 26, the master replied, you wicked and lazy servant. You wicked and lazy servant. You know what wicked, why this servant was wicked? This servant was wicked because all he was concerned, hear me well, all he was concerned about was himself. Can I tell you something? Some of you say, well, I'm just fearful. Well, I'm just insecure. No, you're self-centered. Fear and insecurity is sometimes the most blatant form of self-centeredness that we can run into. You're afraid. Why? What are you afraid of? You're afraid that you're going to fail, and you don't want to fail because you feel like other people are going to look down on you, so you would rather not do anything. You're more concerned about what other people may say about you than you are about what God may say about you. That is unblatant, unabashed self-centeredness. When people are God-centered, what you're asking is, God, what do you think? God, how can I please you? God, I'm willing to take risk even though I look like a fool because it's for you. Regardless of what people around me say, I'm concerned about you, God. You see, he said, you wicked servant, because he had concerned himself only about himself, not about what God thought. And then lastly, he says, you lazy servant. You know, sometimes we're willing to work hard and hard and hard and hard, but when it comes to kingdom of God issues, we're just like, oh, I just lost all my energy. Let me ask you a question. What do you think this guy did with his time? He got $1,000, looked around, dug a hole, buried it, and it says then a long time later his master came back. Well, what was he doing with his time? I don't know, he's playing a little Jewish golf. All I know is that he wasn't about the master's business. He was about his life. He was about his leisure, his life, his business, his affairs, and the master's stuff was just buried in the ground. Let me tell you, you know, sometimes we're very much like that as well. Sometimes we're living our life and we're so busy living our life, you know, we think about God, but he's number 10 on our agenda. And we think about the things of God, but he's not very, very, very high on our priority list. Sometimes we take that talent and we bury it. And you know what? We're living our life very busy making a company prosperous. We're very busy adding our toys or living out our life. But we've done very little or almost anything at all that would be for greater blessing to other people. We've done very little outside of ourselves. And I want to give you a fact that is true. The most unhappy, superficial, hollow people on the face of this earth are people who live exclusively and 100% for themselves at the neglect of God and everybody else. Now, they may succeed, but when they reach the top and look like they've been successful, everybody else around them, they will reach the top and they will be very hollow, shallow, empty people because they've lived just for themselves. Let me ask you this question. What are you doing for God? What are you doing for other people? What are you doing outside something that matters for the kingdom? Is there anything in your life? Or is everything that you're doing right now just about yourself? Is it just about you and your bank account and your prosperity and your business and your car and your house and your health and your goodness and your wellness and your clothes and your insurance and your retirement? Is it all about you? Because if it's all about you, you're lonely, you're empty, you're hollow, and one day you're going to wake up and it's not going to make a lot of sense to you. Because you're going to look back in your life and say, man, did I waste my life? Because if it's all about you, it's a waste. When you can look back and say, you know what? I helped this. I led this. I impacted him. I helped mentor this youth. I helped build that ministry. I helped touch that life. I was involved. And you look back and you realize you've sown seeds. And you've lived outside of yourself. And the more you live outside of yourself and the more you live for God, the more you're going to realize that is the most fulfilled, abundant, joy-filled life that you can ever live. And in the process, what you will experience is you will also experience fulfillment for yourself. See, here's the crazy part of it. The people that live just for themselves end up being the unhappiest. And the people that live for God, not for themselves, but looking to please God, they end up the most self-fulfilled. That's the irony of it. The more you give away, the more you get. The more you release, the more you increase. That's the beauty of it. The guy that was living most for himself in this parable, he ends up weeping and gnashing his teeth. The guys that live only for their master, they end up in the happiness and the joy and the prosperity of their master's life. That's the way it works. And let me close lastly with the final principle here, is that we will experience great profitability. Notice what it says in verse 28 and 30. The master said, take the talent from him, the one who had buried it, and give it to the one who has 10 talents. For everyone who has will be given more. And whoever does not have, even what he has will be taken from him. Now, if you read just that verse out of context, it wouldn't make sense to you, would it? But here's what this verse means. This verse means that as you give of your life and yourself to God, that the more you sow, the more you will reap. And so you will find that God is looking for someone that is faithful. And when he finds someone that's using his gifts and abilities, he's going to pour more and more into that person. And they're going to find themselves increasing and increasing and increasing. And the more they release, the more they increase, the more they prosper, the more they grow spiritually, relationally, financially, physically, in a lot of areas, they are growing and prospering because they are in a cycle of blessing. But the one that's in a cycle of decrease will take the ability that God has given it, will bury them, and the next cycle around, God's going to say, that guy doesn't use it anyways. Take it away from him and give it to the guy that has more. Do you understand that? This is huge. Have you ever seen two people that came to Christ at the same meeting and they start off at the same level and then one grows and grows and grows and grows and uses their gifts and influence, and pretty soon they are flowing in grace and goodness and prosperity and helping influence in their lives. And the other guy just made a little blurb and it's about right there. You say, well, God must love this guy more. No, it has nothing to do with love. It has to do with cycle of blessing. This guy, he started being faithful. He started using what God gave him. Faithful with the little.
You have been listening to Pastor Mark Jobe, the lead pastor of New Life Community Church in Chicago. His message has been called Utilizing a Bold Faith from his brand new series called Life Lessons, The Parables of Jesus. Tune in tomorrow for a brand new message. As I mentioned earlier, if you would like to have a copy of this message or the entire series, you can download it for free with our Straight Talk app. Just log on to PastorMarkJobe.com. That's PastorMarkJobe, J-O-B-E.com. There you will find over 45 other series that can help you with your daily walk with God. If you'd prefer to have a CD of the message or the entire series, contact our office at 773-585-3300. That's 773-585-3300. CDs are only $5 plus shipping. We'd love to invite you to check out a New Life location near you this Sunday. We have 24 life-giving locations throughout the city of Chicago and the surrounding areas. You can check out all of our locations and the times that we meet at www.newlifechicago.org. That's newlifechicago.org. We would really love to meet you, and please tell them that you heard about New Life through the radio program. We hope that this broadcast has been a blessing to you, and we ask that you join us again on the next Straight Talk. Thank you so much for listening. We appreciate your listenership. On behalf of Pastor Mark, our Straight Talk team, and myself, have a great night, and God bless.